Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for July 15th, 2017. I'm Paul White. Hey, quick reminder, we're back in our hometown, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, tonight and tomorrow. This evening, Central Time, 6 o'clock, tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m., Saturday night, Sunday morning, Midland Church. Details are at my website, paulwhiteministries.com. Go to our schedule page, and you can find out how to come see us. Of course, we are recording everything from the road. We'll be bringing it to you very, very soon. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Paul makes this great declaration. I use that word on purpose. Remember it. That word declaration. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. We're just a few weeks now, or a week or so, past the Independence Day here in the United States, and where we celebrate America's independence from Great Britain. And one of the things that comes up on that day, as it should, is the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And it was a declaration not just about the All Men Created Equal clause. In fact, that's not really what it's about. It's a declaration that we should be free because these are the things that King George has done to us that should not be done to a free people. And so there's this list of grievances that Jefferson goes through that are, but it's based on the brilliant argument that all men are created equal and have been endowed by certain inalienable rights by their creator, that these are not rights given to us by the founding fathers, but they're rights given to us by God. The brilliance of that argument in the declaration is that by saying all men are created equal, you have a footing by which to demand your freedom, your liberty, because you're not lesser than the monarchy. You're not a lesser people because you're separated by thousands of miles of Atlantic Ocean. You're not lesser because you're colonists not living on the mainland. You're not lesser because the list goes on and on and on. Well, the reason that I equated Paul's statement of Romans 10:12 to a declaration is because as much as we love the words used by a Jefferson in "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal," they're not original to Jefferson. Yet it was the first time that a government had decided to write it down, that a people had put pen to paper to say it and establish a government built upon that principle. Mm-hmm. But it is not the first time that that principle has been established. The Apostle Paul, and I realize he's coming at it from a lens of theology and salvation, not geopolitical, but he lays the framework in Romans 10 for what would someday be the beauty of a declaration of independence. When Paul says in Romans 10:12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, that doesn't sound like "we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal." But Paul is saying the same thing to a Jewish audience. He is making a declaration that in the eyes of God, God makes no distinction and is rich to all, regardless of heritage, background, performance, that if you call on his name, there's no distinction to God that he's being called upon by a barbarian or that he's being called upon by a member of the tribe of Judah. That God, and I'm putting myself now in the time frame of the Apostle Paul, this might be something he would have said, that in the eyes of God there is now no distinction between one of the sons of Levi calling on the name of the Lord, and a Chinese man from the Far East calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know how much Paul would have known about the outlying portions, that which lies outside of the Roman Empire. He would have called them barbarians and strangers, but he's saying that there is no difference. This is not the only time Paul has made this argument. It is not where it's not the last time he makes this argument. In Galatians 3, Paul has established that we're sons of God through faith in Christ, and we've been baptized into Christ, and we've put on Christ. There's a threefold truth that Paul gives. If Jefferson gives his, we have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, Paul gives his, you're sons of God, baptized into Christ, put on Christ. 1, 2, 3. That leads to Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Paul takes the idea that he's established in Romans 10:12, that there's no distinction between Jew and Greek for those who call upon the name of the Lord. And he adds, whereas I said in Romans 10, it's not really a geopolitical statement, it's theological. In Galatians 3, it is a geopolitical statement. It is theological, and it is social, and it is political, and it is revolutionary, and it is path-breaking, and it changes the way the Western world thinks about God and thinks about the things of God and thinks about politics and society, that Paul lays down the idea that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female. Paul does not get enough credit for being light years ahead of his time, and Christianity is to thank for the all men are created equal clause that the Western world so applauds as a product of the Enlightenment. Well, it may have taken man 1700 years plus and having a sort of revolution of mental enlightenment to come up with the idea that all men are created equal. But Paul had it in the first generation after Jesus, that his encounter with new creation reality taught him that in God, the old social boundaries are gone. That there is no difference to God whether you are a Jew or a Greek, whether you are a slave man or a free man, whether you are a male or a female. And in doing this, Paul covers the religious aspect, the Jew or the Greek. Paul covers the social aspect, the slave or the free. Paul covers the gender aspect, the male and the female. And these three distinctions were stark in the old world. So as much as I love, you know, Jeffersonian history and Jeffersonian politics and American colonial history and studying the thought processes of the Enlightenment and of our founding fathers, I am not naive enough to believe that these Enlightenment ideas were original to them, and I will not insult the teachings, the great teachings of the Apostle Paul, by saying that he was only being spiritual. No, he knew that the new creation reality of the kingdom had tapped into something that went beyond the theological and the spiritual, and it jumped into the social and the economic and the political. And there is no way to truly divorce the idea of the kingdom as an influence upon the kingdoms of this world. Not if you really believe Romans 10:12, and not if you really believe Galatians 3:28. We cannot separate those ideas. We'll move on to verse 13 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.